Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part two of a three-part series entitled Abundance, and today's message is specifically entitled Be Fruitful and Multiply, based off of Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. So, let us dive into the Word today. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd and stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered.
"Bring them here," he said.
Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Amen. Like the disciples who were tasked with feeding the multitude, we find ourselves looking at what little we have, rather than at the abundant power of the one who is with us and in us. When trapped in a mindset of scarcity, Jesus shows us that faithfulness leads to God's miraculous abundance. I have told you all pretty much about how I came back into the church in 2004. I had lost my computer engineering job in the fall of 2003 and had tried a number of things to gain employment. First, I tried to start my own web programming company, but that didn't pan out. Simultaneously, I was applying to other website development and business programming companies to no avail. I even applied to places like the local supermarket and Burger King, and I couldn't find a job anywhere. And by 2005, I was desperate to find a job, as you could imagine. Our house was on the brink of foreclosure, and one of our cars got repossessed. And to put this into perspective, in 2003, at the beginning of it, I had had this job as a business programmer. I was traveling around the country for it. I was making, money. And so we had just purchased a home. We had, before that, owned a condo, and we sold the condo, purchased a home. And so at the end of that year, I lose my job. And then all of a sudden we can't make the mortgage payments. We can't afford the mortgage. And so we're falling behind on the mortgage. So we're getting notices saying that if you don't pay us by X amount of, by a certain time, we're going to put you into foreclosure. And so we were doing all we could just to make ends meet and to pay for the house. And so our house was on the brink of foreclosure by 2005. One of our cars got repossessed. I had people all around me questioning why I didn't have a job. By this point, I had already started coming back to the church and was slowly but surely placing my faith back in God and in Jesus. But this wasn't panning out. I mean, in terms of my finances, in terms of everything else going on, we were sinking further and further down. And so finally, I decided to meet with my pastor for spiritual counseling because I just was at wit's end and I needed to talk to somebody about it. And, I was questioning all sorts of things, like, where was God in all of this? Why won't God bless me with a job so I can support my family? All those questions that you would have in such a circumstance. And his answer took me by surprise. Maybe getting a job isn't right for you in this moment. Maybe getting a job right now isn't the right thing for you. If it is God's will, he said, the doors will open wide. If something is God's will, the doors will open wide. But if you are struggling to make something happen and no opportunities open up, well, then maybe you should pull back and trust God. Maybe you're trying to force your will into the situation rather than God's will. And then he asked me, do you trust that God will provide you with what you need? And honestly, I had never really thought of it that way. And it made me question my own faith and belief in God. I mean, did I really believe in God? Was I really putting my trust in God? Or was I trying to force my will? Now, you have to understand, all of this is contextual. In what was really going on, and I'm sure my pastor picked up on this, but I was really struggling with my own identity. Like, to me, it wasn't enough that I was a stay-at-home dad. It wasn't enough that I didn't have a job. A man is supposed to have a job. A man is supposed to take care of his family by working. A man is supposed to have a career. And so all of these presuppositions were feeding into my panic and into my questioning of God. And so my pastor was basically sitting me down and saying, is that really what God wants? Is your standard of what a man should be doing what God wants? Or are you trying to force your own will into this? And so the questioning and the reflection that caused was beneficial. Many, if not all of us, have experienced hard and or uncertain times, whether those times be economic, psychological, emotional, familial, or relational. We all have moments when everything seems to be at a loss, don't we? What's more, we all have found ourselves tasked with something too great for us to possibly accomplish. And in those moments, we find ourselves trapped in a mindset of scarcity. In today's scripture, we see the disciples going through the same exact thing. Here is a group of people who had followed Jesus long enough to see many miracles. They had watched him exorcise demons, heal the lame, walk on water, turn water into wine, and even raise the dead. But that was Jesus, not them. Surely they couldn't do that. And now, with a multitude of hungry people, Jesus was tasking them with feeding the multitude. How could they possibly pull off a miraculous feat like that? And they immediately fell into their human mindset of scarcity. There simply were too many people and not enough food. A mere 5 fish and 2 loaves. That's it. It is in that moment that Jesus takes control, sits them all down, and redirected their thinking and focus back on him. He not only fed the multitude, but had a surplus of 12 baskets of leftovers, a basket for each of those disciples. Think about it. They're complaining about how they don't have enough food, and in the end, they end up with a basket full of leftovers, one for each of them. What a message Jesus sent those disciples. In this scripture passage, God is reminding us that, first, it's not about what we do or don't have. It's about the abundance of God. Second, if we but put our faith in Jesus Christ, there's no limit to what God can do. Period. There's no limit. Third, and finally, believing is seeing. Not the other way around. We often think seeing is believing, but believing, my friends, is actually seeing. Thomas Edison had to believe that there could be an electric light in order to invent the light bulb, right? Louis Pasteur had to believe that he could use dead rabies in order to create a vaccination to combat rabies and to immunize people from rabies. They didn't see it first. They believed it. And then they made it a reality. So my friends, believing is seeing. And through our faithfulness, we will see God's abundance at work. When looking at what little they had, the disciples instantly jumped to a scarcity mindset. However, when they stepped out in faith, believing in Jesus, fully trusting in Jesus, they saw just how abundant God is. You, my friends, are being called to put your faith in God, just as I was when I was jobless and at a loss of what to do. And I eventually processed what my pastor taught me and heeded his advice. And out of that came being a stay-at-home dad with a great relationship with my daughters that I still have to this day as a result of that decision. I eventually got degrees, jobs, and we are about to close on the house that never foreclosed. Now, I recognize not all situations turn out that way, but sometimes we need to trust that whatever happens, happens for our best. And we have to stop fighting against the current, trying to clutch on to what we have, trying to hold control over what we have, and just trust that maybe what we are holding on to isn't what's best for us. Don't rely on what you see in order to believe that God is abundant. Rather, trust that God has given you all that you need, and that you even have a surplus beyond what you need. If you are faithful to God in your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, then you will see all that you have in God. You see, my friends, this isn't a prosperity message. And all of you who listen to me know how much I disagree with the prosperity gospel, this idea that if I just pray hard enough and I give enough money, God will bless me with material goods. That's not what this is about. This is about being blessed by God with the ability to be faithful in our service, bringing transformation into the world around us. You see, when I was in a panic over my finances and over losing my house and over getting my car repossessed, I was focused on me and how I looked to the outside world and how I looked to myself. When God was asking me to trust Him and to step forward and do the things I needed to do to become a pastor, which was the call I had known from 2004 onward, I had known that I needed to answer. But I was allowing all of the things, all of my financial and materialistic trappings hold me back. And so when my pastor gave that advice to me, that freed me from worrying about those things, though I still did worry about them, let's be honest. But that freed me to then put my trust in God and to step forward in faith. So this isn't about being blessed with materialistic goods. This is about being blessed with the ability and the freedom to step out in faith and to serve God and to not allow the financial and materialistic trappings stop us from doing so. And so often we do, my friends. So often we do. We have been blessed by God. We have been blessed by God in various ways. So let us affirm that and celebrate those things. More importantly, let us be a blessing to others. Let us all be challenged to step up in our generous giving. Your support of your church helps to feed, clothe, shelter, supply, and care for people in their various needs. Your support provides hope, healing, and wholeness to people, and it saves lives. So this week, I challenge you to consider how you can increase your financial giving, as well as increase in your prayers, in your presence, in your service, and in your witness. Be faithful. Be faithful, my friends, and watch God multiply your church's ministries, outreach, and impact. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for what it is that you are doing for us. Lord, you have called us and invited us into a covenantal relationship with you, where you provide for us and we serve you. Help us, Lord, to grow in our service. Help us to grow in our prayers and our presence. Help us to grow in our witness of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to grow in our giving. For that is essential to the ministries of your church. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for all it is that you have done for us. And we ask that you strengthen us and lift us up into even better servants than we already are. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And friends, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to this message. I hope that it challenges you. We all can be challenged to give more on all levels. I think that God has been so lavishly generous to us that we really ought to, in response to God's generosity, be generous back to others and be lavishly generous back to others. We weren't created to hoard God's blessings, but to be a blessing as a result of them. And so, friends, remember that that is our call, and I hope that this message has challenged you to grow in your giving, which is something that we all could grow in on all levels. In the meantime, I would like to invite you to check out the episode notes, where you can check out the Party on John cast. You can check out the Life-Giving Water Devotions page. Also, I would like to invite you to rate us and review us on whatever platform you are listening to, because that helps bump us in the listings so that people know we're here and can listen to these messages. In the meantime, friends, remember, you are richly blessed, so be a blessing to others. Amen.